Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Intuitive Life Tea with Angel, a place for you to sit down, have some fun discussing life, change, the interesting things happening across the New Age community, and some of those interesting people doing awesome work for you. Callers are always welcome, and I do enjoy answering your questions and giving brief readings on the air. So come on in, I invite you to sit down, pour a cup of great tea, and join me for 30 minutes of tea chat.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome to the show this week. I am here with Dr. Barry Friedman, who is our much anticipated guest. We missed him the last time, so I'm so excited we were able to catch up with him today. Now, he is an astrologer of the Vedic system of astrology. I'm going to ask him to give us more details about it because it's been very interesting to me that it originated in India over 5,000 years ago. And through intuitive insights and divine inspiration, he will seek and find. I'm looking here at somebody who just sent me a message who says that they want to talk to you. Everybody's very excited to have you on the show tonight. It is so cool. So everybody say hello. Hi, Barry. Welcome to the show.
Hello, everyone. And thank you for rescheduling our meeting here now.
It's my pleasure. I have lots of enthusiasm and passion. So, so tell us a little bit about your yourself. Tell us a little bit about the astrology modality that you work with, so that we can get the correct pronunciation of your process. And you have some really interesting words to describe what you do. And I want to make sure that you're able to do it in the right way. So tell us about your work.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I've been, I'm actually a psychotherapist and a historian of religion. I specialized in Indian studies, Hinduism and Buddhism. And I wrote my doctoral dissertation on Hindu astrology. And though I have taught at a local university, but I realized that I wasn't, my passion wasn't really to be a scholar, but to work with people. So I became a psychotherapist, but I discovered that I had a great love for Hindu astrology. And when I started to actually practice, I realized it was much more than just an intellectual preoccupation for me. So I've been practicing for the last 35 years, and I find it to me the most remarkable, vast and deep divinatory system. The way I use Hindu astrology is essentially for the individual's self-awareness and self-empowerment. That's always my focus. And so when I do readings, for example, I give a life reading, which is 2 hours long, and I go through all of the foundational yogas, the essential yogas of the chart, and I discuss the various conditions of each of the planets and how they relate to each other. It's quite remarkable because the chart becomes, it actually becomes like a song to me, where I as I'm reading it, the energy from it just comes through me, and I start to share what I see and what I feel. So it's a wonderful tool. It's a wonderful tool. I also look at probabilities of things to come, and also what I can see from the past, depending on if it's relevant for the individual. It's an absolutely remarkable tool, an art, and a science.
That's really cool. Help me and explain to those of us who aren't as fully versed in astrology what's so different. You talked about Hindu astrology, and it feels like it's a really deep process. Explain that to me, if you can.
The process of reading a Hindu chart?
Yeah, or even what makes it a little different.
It's quite a bit different. It's quite a bit different from Western astrology. For one thing, the Hindu system, the astrologers use the actual constellations in the sky from Aries to Pisces, whereas in Western astrology, the Western signs that we speak of as Aries to Pisces are not coterminous with the circle of the actual constellations. The whole circle of so-called signs is shifted off from the circle of the actual constellations by 24 degrees. So most Westerners don't know that, but the Hindu zodiac is what we actually see in the sky. There's also superimposed on those 12 solar constellations, because they're defined by the sun's passage through them, are 27 lunar constellations that are defined by the moon's transit through them. And those lunar constellations are in some ways every bit as important as the solar constellations. There's also the way the planets interact with each other is also quite different than in Western astrology. In Western astrology, things are rather precisely angular in terms of the planets' angular relationship to each other and to the cusps of houses. Whereas in Hindu astrology, while that kind of angularity is a part of it, there are other principles that are very important. For example, a principle called drishti, which is Sanskrit for glance. All of the planets glance at one another, and the intensity of the glance very much impacts the condition of the planet that is being glanced upon. There are many different parameters here, the dignities of the planets, which Western astrologers are familiar with, what's called Tara and Ashtakavarga, Shadbala. All of these are parameters that have to be incorporated in assessing a chart. There's also a very precise chronology based on the moment of one's birth. The moon's position in one of the 27 lunar constellations generates a lifelong temporal trajectory of planetary influences. The periods of these planets are called dashas. They're all of a different length. They're all in a fixed order. And depending on the conditions of the planets in an individual's chart, those dashas will have certain effects. So it's just, even though I've been practicing this for so long, I still see, you know, there's so much to learn. It's an endless study.
That's amazing, and my head is just spinning. It feels so complicated, and it feels so vast, and the amount of knowledge that you would need to have. I almost feel like I was listening to a physics lecture. It feels so complicated. What was it that drew you to this? You know, you talked about your sex therapist, and really fascinating that you are a historian of religion. How did this psychotherapy and studying of history become Vedic astrology for you?
Well, it's kind of amusing. I was in my second year at the University of Chicago. I'd gotten my master's degree in divinity, but I was racking my brain to come up with a dissertation topic. And so I was pacing my little studio apartment, and what came together as if by, you know, a lightning bolt was that I was somewhat interested in Western astrology, and I also recognized that astrology is very important in India, and the two recognitions just suddenly came together in a single moment, and it was one of those aha moments. Oh yes, I'm going to be studying Hindu astrology. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. After that. Just like that. And so I did. I had to prove to my dissertation advisor, who is actually quite a world famous South Asian scholar, that it was worthy of study. So I did prove that.
That is amazing. That is a funny story, but and here you are today. And do you cross the two paths? So you work in the therapeutic realm. Do you engage in the conversations on both sides? If I'm your client and you're my therapist, would you use some of your skills in the Vedic astrology to work with me,
yes,
or do you keep them separate?
I they're somewhat separate. They were more separate in the past, but I have seen that for certain of my psychotherapy clients, especially those who have a spiritual bent, that the use of a chart is sometimes very useful. So in certain instances, I will invite, you know, I will suggest that they might be interested in having me do the chart, and I do it, and we use it as a sort of reference. In my astrology work, I do, among other things, I see, you know, I have a fairly clear sense of the psychodynamics and psycho-spiritual elements of a chart. So when I think that that's very important in discussing the chart, I will speak from a psycho-spiritual point of view, because you know, the while many Hindu astrologers believe that there's only fate and not free will, I very much believe that on the level of this world, that how we act and how we hold ourselves and what we understand about ourselves and about the world really matters. And so the counseling on a pragmatic level, on the level of self-awareness, is I think, essential for a comprehensive and in-depth astrological assessment.
That's awesome. That's really awesome. I would love to give you an opportunity to talk to some people so that they can experience kind of some conversations. Got some people that want to ask you some questions. So I'm going to open up a couple of calls here for you to give you a chance to engage with the listeners. It's this gentleman or lady, who have we got here? Who am I talking to? Good evening. Welcome. Hello? Are you there? Hello?
Yes.
Hi, how
yes,
are
hi.
You?
Hi, I'm here.
So I think I think there was a young lady there. Are you still there?
Yes, hello? Hi, I'm here. I'm sorry, I got a little confused. My name's Donna. Hi.
Donna. Hi, Donna. Donna. Barry Friedman. Donna. What, do
hi,
you have
Donna.
Any questions this evening?
Hi, my birthday is April 22nd, 1954, and lately it hasn't been going too well financially, and I wanted to know with the astrology if this was just a bad time for me and it's going to be changing.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry. I didn't realize that people would be asking me mini readings, otherwise, because that takes some preparation. You know, the study of the chart is something that is complex. I can give you, you know, I would have to put it into my computer and then and generate the chart and then, you know, give you the briefest and superficial, you know, 1 minute something, but I don't think that's really useful, actually.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, I'm very sorry. If you want to ask me something, you know, about the system or how I work, I'd be happy to do that. But really, doing a reading on a chart, I mean, Angel, do we have time to do this? If I did this, it would only take, you know, I'd probably be able to do maybe one person or two at the max, if that's...
That would be, if it takes a couple of minutes, absolutely. We've got about 15 minutes left in the program. So
all right,
if you have the time,
okay,
you can do that. Maybe if you
all
can
right,
Donna
I'll,
get some...
Okay, no problem. I'll put that up. I didn't realize that was part of
that's
the format
okay.
here, so... Okay, so I need some information from you, Donna.
Okay.
Tell me you tell me your date of birth again.
April 22nd, 1954.
Okay, and your time of birth?
2:50 p.m. and I was born in Flushing, Long Island.
Okay, 2:50 p.m. in Flushing, Long Island. Okay, let's put that in here. I think we've got this here. That's in Queens, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Okay, I have your chart here. So you have Leo rising here. So what's your question, Donna? You've been having a difficult time?
Yes, with finances this month. I wanted to know if this would be changing a bit for me, that, you know, things would get better in this, in the money, you know, field.
I see. It's only been a problem for this month, you're saying?
Maybe a couple months.
I see.
Yeah.
Well, what I'm seeing here, let me look at this. What's happening here, I believe, is that there is the, first off, you're in a particular dasha and sub-dasha period, which is, it's Rahu Ketu, dasha, sub-dasha. This whole period from the middle of last year, I would think, is a time of a major transition in your life, this axial period, because these are the karmic nodes, Rahu and Ketu. So I would think that there's been something very profound changing in your life, perhaps slowly, but happening since the middle of last year. Is that the case?
Yes.
So in terms of your finances, so what's happening here is that the transiting Mars and Saturn are in the same house, same sign as your moon. And Mars came in there around the middle of February. The transiting Mars, and transiting Saturn has been there for quite some time, but the two of them together are creating some anxiety and tension for you, in some ways, perhaps in a general sense. But in terms of your money situation, Mars, your natal Mars, is in the second house from the moon. Second house from anything deals with, among other things, money. And your Mars is quite weak in a certain way, both by what's called Ashtagavarga and by the lunar constellation that it's in. Since Mars and Saturn have just entered Scorpio, activating the moon, and Mars rules the sign that the moon is in, and it's in second from the moon, that's what's been causing this. Now, in terms of when this will change, something will definitely change. I just share what I see. So I always like to give good news, but this will take a few months. After 11th, when Jupiter comes to the second house, your natural second house, your financial fortunes will definitely increase. And after mid-September, they should get better yet. So that's the long and the short answer to that question.
Oh, that's awesome.
Very good.
How do you like that,
yeah,
Donna?
Yeah, it's something to look forward to. I'm so glad I spoke to you, and I'll be getting in touch with you for a more detailed. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Awesome.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
Thank you very much. You have a good evening, Donna, okay?
Thank you. You too. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye-bye. What I'm going to ask you to do, Barry, is just kind of give your contact information. That was really great information. I was, again, very fascinated by how you were able to kind of dig really deep. I've heard had astrology readings done. I've had my chart done in the past, and you know there are things that you spoke about that were so cool in terms of just kind of helping a person really understand kind of where things are and why they may be that way, and then cutting to the chase and saying at the end of the day this is going to be the outcome once you get through these things. And I could literally feel her sense of relief knowing that's coming.
I heard it too.
It was awesome. You made her day, which is awesome, really really awesome. So if you could state your contact information both for Donna and for the rest of the listeners, they could reach out to you if they want more detail.
Sure.
Connect with you and get a more detailed reading.
Thank you. My phone number for astrology is 510-530-0517. And my website is aditya'svedicastrology.com. I'll spell out Aditya. It's A, D as in David, I, T as in Tom, Y, A, S. So aditya'svedicastrology.com. There's a lot of information there.
That's awesome. And I also have it linked to the program page for those of you guys who are driving or something and couldn't catch that. It'll be linked to the program page. You can link out to him. I recommend reaching out to him. That was an amazing brief reading. And I do know it's a lot more difficult with astrology because you do have to have a lot of information. A lot of times people want to know kind of some general stuff. Like I like to know what is the mood, so to speak, and what's going on. We seem to be in a crazy space. We got presidential election coming up, and there's craziness going on the election. We've got the world kind of in a shattered state. Is there anything that you can speak to and to talk about kind of where we are and how the mood of the stars or anything? Based on he laughed at me. chuckle.
Yeah, I've actually looked at the charts of a couple of the candidates, I'm maybe I shouldn't be saying this, but Hillary's chart looks what shall I say, adequate for the election. But from my perspective, very unfortunately, Donald Trump's chart looks quite wonderful. And yet it goes against common sense for me to think that he could be elected. And yet that's what I one day before the election, he leaves an entire 18-year period of influence, which wasn't bad for him to begin with, and enters an even better period of influence one day before the election. So I'm looking at that. I mean, you can see clearly in his horoscope that he is a businessman, but it's very clear that he has strong proclivities for politics. It's absolutely apparent in his chart. So I'm crossing my fingers that I've misread the chart.
So in this situation, you wouldn't mind being wrong.
Absolutely.
That's amazing.
I pray I'm wrong.
Oh, gosh. That's amazing. Oh, wow. It's a favorite question. I get the question a lot around that. And our time together is almost at an end. So I do have a question that I want to talk about around your being a historian of religion. And if I heard you correct, you said that you were basically in the study of religion and that you had this epiphany and decided to go into this the astrology what was that like for you? Because it just feels like it's such a different conversation. Though when you talk about it, you seem to connect to it very spiritually. It doesn't sound like there is any conflict when you talk about it.
I'm sorry, what did you say about the conflict?
It doesn't sound like there's, it feels like it's just like a glove, like the spiritual connection is very deep for you, it feels
Whereas
it's just, absolutely. Like it's the same conversation.
Absolutely. I feel a deep, you know, the way I look at this, you know, this system, you know, to me seems like it is, it cannot be anything but divinely inspired. And the fact that an astrologer can be so accurate about someone they've never met before, you know, the you know, this system was, from the Hindu point of view, brought forward by very enlightened seers many, many thousands of years ago. They codified their findings in various ancient texts. And so it never ceases to amaze me how a chart can so accurately describe someone. So,
wow.
it gives me the sense of, oh, yes, you know, even though I already knew this, I already believed this from a philosophical and religious or spiritual point of view, this is such a clear indication of the role of destiny in life. And astrology requires also action. There's an old Sanskrit verse that says, destiny without free will, or actually the word is karma, without action, is like a chariot with only one wheel. It does not proceed. So a chart can be really wonderful, but if it's not acted upon with good intention, the potentials won't be actualized. Now, of course, one could say that lack of actualization would also be seen in the chart, but I always like to give people the benefit of the doubt. Otherwise, what's the point?
Yeah, well said. What is the point? That's what I'm talking about. What is the point? If you could have one message, if you could leave us with one message that truly is your call to action in the last couple minutes of the program, what would it be?
It would be cultivate your self-awareness. Because everything else arises from that. And the fulfillment of a life is something that cannot usually occur blindly. It almost never does. Unless, you know, there are some people who are very, very much conditioned by past life karma and have very little room in this life to change the conditions from the past, but that's very rare. So given that, you know, we should all be very diligent in doing what we can to develop our self-awareness, to contribute to life, and to use the gifts that God and destiny have given us to better ourselves in the world.
Beautiful. If you could just say your website one more time, and we're going to call it a
sure.
day. We got like 30 seconds left.
Okay. It's aditya'svedicastrology.com. That's A-D-I-T-Y-A-S, Vedic Astrology, aditya'svedicastrology.com. My phone number is 510-530-0517.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens with the election myself, and I would love to have you back on in the future.
I would be delighted.
Good night, and take care, and God bless to everyone.
Thank you so much. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.